Fly Student Ministries, let me hear you make some noise. Y'all having a good time so far? Listen, man, so we're here at the God Life 2.0. We're going to go ahead and dive into the panel discussion. Somebody say, the panel. We're going to go ahead and dive into it. This is all about the God life, right? So we have some amazing people who are going to come up, who are actually living this God life in phenomenal ways that we're hoping that will inspire you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we mentioned, we're Misa and Mia from Eminem Live Radio. And one thing that we do on the show is we have Dear Eminem letters. And that's when our listeners, our audience members write to us in need of advice. And we have this one that I wanted to start off with just to kind of like set the tone for this panel discussion. And I want to get y'all's opinion on this. Dear Eminem, dear the God Life 2.0, I don't really know how to say this, but I feel like I'm living two lives. At church, I know all the right words to say. I raise my hand during worship, I take notes, and I post Bible verses on my story. But at school, it's like I become someone else. I laugh at all the wrong jokes. I do things I know I wouldn't if God was right in front of me, even though I know he is. If I go all in for God, I'm scared I'll lose friends or be seen as doing way too much. But if I keep blending in, I feel fake. I love God, I really do. But I'm tired of feeling guilty and confused and like I'm not good enough to be a real Christian. I just want to know how to stop faking it and really live for God, even when it's hard. Sincerely, Double Life Mike. Man, that's a heavy one. Can anybody relate to that story? Yeah, yeah, living a double life, you know, doing one thing at church and doing something different. So listen, I wanna just pose that question. Let y'all think about it for a little bit, but I want for us to be able to hear from, like Mia said, some people that are really living the God life seriously in their everyday lives, in their businesses, in any area of whatever they're experiencing. So if you don't mind, I want you to help me welcome these following people. Here's the first one coming to the stage. So this panelist is a dynamic entrepreneur who has built multiple 6- and 7-figure brands. As the founder of In God I Flex, CJ has inspired thousands through his bold storytelling, innovative marketing, and unapologetic commitment to faith and excellence. Tonight, this panelist brings insight, energy, and truth to the stage, ready to empower every listener to rise into who they were created to be. Y'all make some noise for our friend, CJ King. Here he is coming to the stage. Y'all make some noise for him one more time. Welcome, CJ.
Listen, we got a phenomenal panelist coming to the stage. I'm gonna read y'all her bio real quick. So listen, she's a professional drummer, artist, and servant at heart. She has played for names like J. Cole, Lil Yachty, Hezekiah Walker, and rep ATL with the Falcons, the Hawks, the Dream, and the Braves. But beyond the stages, her purpose is clear: to inspire young women to dream boldly, walk in purpose, and know that they can be paid, powerful, and full of love all at once. Listen, y'all make some noise for the one, the only, Jazz Kelly.
All right, y'all, we're gonna go ahead and keep this going. The last panelist coming to the stage. This panelist is a film director, photographer, content creator, and teacher of film. He has shot for a range of big artists from singers like Ty Tribbett. Y'all know Ty Tribbett? Yes, sir. And also R&B artists like Ella May. He is thriving, to say the least, in his career already and only in his 20s. This is Christian Life Center's very own Chris Clark. Yes, sir. Welcome, Chris. Welcome, welcome, welcome. That's what I'm talking about. Can y'all make some noise for our panelists? Yes, so... Panelists, first of all, thank y'all so much for being here, for coming and choosing to be a panelist here at this amazing conference. I'm not sure if you heard that story earlier that I read of the young person that feels like they're living a double life, you know, like they laugh at the wrong jokes at school, but, you know, at church, they're posting Bible verses on their story, and they're just not quite sure how to truly dive in deep and live the God life, what advice would you have for that person? Sure, Chris.
I would say the biggest thing is intimacy. I know a lot of times we look at other people's walk and how they live with God and like, dang, seem like they further ahead than me, or how come they fall in the presence of God, or how come it seems like they weep out and things like that. But the biggest thing I would say is to just cultivate your own private time with God, you know, even if it's 10 minutes, and then work your way up to 20 minutes in prayer, and then 30 minutes, and by the time you know it, you out there, and it's just like his sensitivity will start to become a thing that is so regular that you can literally just look at the flowers and you just start crying. So I would just say more intimacy is the biggest thing.
And to add to what he said, I would definitely follow up by saying, being, like you said, being authentic in who you are and accepting that you're not going to get this walk perfect, right? The more honest you are with where you are in life and where you are in your faith, the more God can bless that, because he can't bless who you pretend to be. So the more you can actually walk authentically, say, God, I'm going to be real with you. Like, I struggle with this. I struggle with lust. I struggle with porn. I struggle with this, cussing, whatever the thing might be. The more you can be real about that, the more God can actually walk with you through that journey.
Yeah, that's super good. And I think it's ironic that you even asked that question, because I can reflect back, even just as a young adult now, feeling like you're torn between two worlds. And it's like, okay, if you are at school and you feel like you're one person, but then you come to church and then you become this other person, my question always becomes then, who told you that you had to be a certain thing, right? So, like, are you really living a double life, or is it that you're human and because you're in two different locations, you can see the duality of the things that you're actually struggling with? And so for me, I think it's a moment of just recognizing that there is nothing that I can do and nothing that I'll ever be able to do to earn what God has freely graced me with and given me, which is his love and his son. And when I surrender that I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to fall. I'm going to slip up. Whatever it is that I'm struggling with, I'm going to have a drink and get drunk. And then I'm going to be on my knees the next day crying like, God, why did I do this? I'm going to sleep with my boyfriend at the time and then feel convicted, like, literally right after, like, Lord, I know what I was supposed to do, but right. Why did I make that decision? Because I'm enabling my flesh. God, I know what to do, but I'm not doing the right thing, right? But it's the moment where you surrender that, dang, I'm human, and I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Because that's how I was made. Like, it's in my fleshly DNA to be a hood rat. Like, it is. But my spirit man has been made perfect. But when I surrender my willingness, or I guess my free will, that I'm going to make mistakes, but it's Jesus that's going to walk me through this. And I hold on to the faith and the hope that Jesus is real.
Yeah.
And if he is real, then I believe what you said about me in
Come
your
on.
Word.
That's good.
And because I believe that, I know that God, okay, I fail. I'm in the midst of my sin. I'm still sinning right now, and I don't want to. But Lord, please help me, Holy Spirit, because you've graced me the same resurrecting power that was in Jesus. You said that I have it. So God, I'm trusting you, even though I'm in the midst of making this mistake, that you're going to bring me up out of this. And, eventually, I will be delivered and transformed for that. And I think that's the process of walking out life in the God life, of being transformed just by being.
I love that. I love that. Can y'all make some noise for that? Now, listen, Mia and I have the opportunity of doing some research on y'all, reading your bios, and we'll talk more about what y'all do currently now. But, like, this is a room full of middle schoolers and high schoolers. You know, some are graduating and going off into college. But could you just make the connection? Because I want for them to be able to see that y'all were once one of them. You were once sitting in their seats. CJ, tell me, what was CJ like in high school, in middle school, in trying to live a God life?
So I come from the perspective of a PK, right? So we got any PKs in the building? Any PKs? All right,
okay.
So we got some PKs. So, not facts. So I came up as one who thought I had to be a certain way and follow certain expectations that the church and other people had on me, and then live a secret life and be how I wanted to be, out with my friends or at a party or whatever the case may be, you know, sneaking and doing stuff, but then get the church to be the perfect citizen. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't in high school, that was me. And so I had to come to grips that I wasn't being true to myself, and I wasn't being honest with myself of where I was. And it wasn't until I got, you know, until, you know, early college years, which is why you're, it's good that you're here so you can hear this now. It wasn't until early college years that I really had a crisis where I had to really battle with, all right, man, I'm tired of pretending to be this, tired of pretending to be that. I actually want to know and believe this faith thing for myself. All right, I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ because I grew up in church hearing it. I don't want to believe because I was told to do it. But I had to really find out who Christ was for myself. And how did I do that? It was by baby steps of actually asking him honestly, God, who are you? What should I believe? Like, who are you to me? And God, speak to me. And if you ask him, he'll follow through on that. So.
Yeah. Chris, what about you?
For me, in high school, I would kind of say I was just like a normal kid. I didn't really do too much of anything crazy, only because when I tried to, I was always get caught. Like, it was never like, oh, you're the one doing this, blah, 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 blah. But I felt like my journey of wilding out really started when I was in college. That's when I really started smoking and stuff like that or whatever. But after I started smoking, I wanted to try LSD. So me and my cousin went on a trip to New York, and we had smuggled LSD over the little TSC thing, whatever. And like, as before we even crossed, I was like, bro, how do we do this? He said, let's go on Reddit. He says, okay, you take the LSD, you put it in your wallet, and they won't see it if you put it through the thing. So we did that. So we got over to the other side, and we got in the hotel. And I was like, he was like, you still want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I still want to do it. And he was like, are you sure? Because he's done mushrooms, everything. So I'm like the new oddball in it. So he's like, all right. And he gave it to me. And like, I put it on my tongue, and I sat there. And I looked over at him, and he was already knocked out. And I was like, dang. So I'm sitting there, and nothing's happening. I'm like, okay, 30 minutes. Nothing's happening. And it was showing me that God was like, I don't want to open your spiritual eyes like that. That's not the way I want to do it. And ever since then, I'll have like visions and encounters of things. But I think if I would have prematurely allowed my eyes to be open to that stuff, I probably wouldn't even be here right now talking to y'all about the God life. So,
yeah. Talk about real talk, man. Y'all say real talk.
Real talk.
I appreciate your honesty and vulnerability, all of you, you know, but I mean, it's hard to even admit that that was a passage you kind of came from. But it's awesome to see where God has brought you. You know, I even want to ask you, CJ, because you've worked with some big names out there as a director and a filmmaker. How do you infuse your faith into your designs without it feeling forced or cliche?
I would kind of go back to the intimacy thing. A lot of times, the more time I spend with God, it's easier for him to correct me on what's right or what's wrong. Because sometimes I'd be like, can I do this? Or like, is this too... Not bold, but like, well, people understand it. But then sometimes it's like, trust me in what I'm trying to show you, because the vision, so this, the video that was shown was a basketball video about redemption. And there's a lot of other videos that I have that are a lot more complex and complicated. And sometimes it can be like, I'm not sure if this is Christianity that I'm looking at, but sometimes God will take me to places spiritually where I have to trust that he's gonna make it make sense for someone that's going through the same thing. Because I think a lot of times, even people might have dealt with sleep paralysis and things like that, right? And I feel like people need to see visuals to understand what that kind of stuff is, but no one's really breaking that down for people. Like, a lot of us who's probably seen Christian movies, they're like, it's trash. I'm not really into this. Because they're only, I'm not saying that particularly, but a lot of times it's only showing the one side of it. Like, the hope redemption, which is great, but no one's really getting to see the true warfare of how it actually is. So my goal is to actually... you know, show people that side of it, but not feel like they're getting bound by the thing that they're seeing, because there's still light that I'm trying to push through on the other side of what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's good. Can we make some noise for that answer? That was really good. That's like representing in a way, you know what I'm saying? Being able to communicate your art through the lens of God. Jazz, I want to ask you this, because the people you played behind is a long list. And a lot of times in church culture, being on the stage can kind of gas us up in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on the praise team, you got a mic in your hand, you kind of smelling yourself a little bit. But we can't let that spirit of pride get to us. And you just always, I've just seen watching you from afar, you've always maintained a humble spirit. How are you able to use the God life you're living on these stages and platforms, but still remain so humble at the same time and stay close to God?
First off, thank you, because I feel like I needed to hear that, because being an artist, and I think, like, everybody in the room is a creative. I hate that stuff has become, like, buzzwords. Like, if you're created in God's image, you are creative to in some form or capacity. But being a musical and a kind of artistic creative, I've always kind of been mindful somewhat of pride. And I always had questions about the story of, like, why did Lucifer fall and what really, really happened. But I think the main thing for me, especially now, I won't say until most recently when I got connected here at COC, my community, shout out to Aaron Floyd, who's like my mom, but also a minister on staff here. But she holds me so, her and her husband, I don't even know why, but they saw something in me that I can't even perceive yet. And it's so divine to the point where God had to set it up to where I would walk in here randomly in a prayer meeting that they were having. I wasn't even at this church yet. And she's like, don't leave until I give you what God told me to say. And she would give me something that God had said to me in private and something that would confirm. And it also allowed me to see things that were happening inside of the ministry at the time. And so then being connected to those people who have already walked, and they not only like walked the life that you have, their life is almost kind of like identical being my age. So everything that I've encountered is literally like a split image. And so I would just say community, being in environments where everybody around you is not a yes man. Like I have a strong like community, and I'm literally always telling my people like, hey, I need y'all to stay in a space of humility too, so that if I ask you, hey, do I need growth in this area, let I be willing to receive it even if it doesn't feel good. Because a lot of the times what happens is you can always tell most times when people haven't done the work behind the scenes because they publicly fall. The soul work that's necessary behind the scenes before you get to your next level of elevation always requires an extreme amount of humility, sacrifice, and crucifixion to your own desires. And so the people that are around me know that and they're aware, and it's just something that I'm always conscious of, because I never want to get in a space where people get around me and you can smell foulness. Like, I can be in a room, I'm like, bro, it's tight in here, baby. I need to go. Like, I don't even like, you're doing too much, okay? But being in those rooms and being grounded at home, when I go out, now I'm able to see what's going on around me and decide whether I want to partake. And most times it's like, I'm straight. And you'll end up being isolated in a sense, and it feels like you're alone sometimes if you're not aware of, like, the gifts that you kind of carry. You'll think that it's isolation, but it's just God protecting you, because there's certain rooms and stuff that you'll go into where there's a lot of, listen, this stuff y'all see on TikTok, it's real, baby. There's a whole lot of like dark stuff that's going on behind the scenes. But the crazy part about it is that it's not even a secret anymore. Everything is out. Like, the stuff is real. People asking you like, yo, if you give me this, I'll make sure that your name is great here. It's real. Yeah. It sounds real simple, but the reality of it is when I take the veil off of it, it's saying, give me your soul and I'll elevate you above of all these kingdoms on the earth.
And I'm glad that you even mentioned that, Jazz, because, you know, every person on here, the panelists, they have outstanding followings. You have a lot of people following you, watching you at all times. Like, you truly are influencers. Now, how many out here, have y'all ever come across a hater in your life? Ever? Like, someone that just don't know how to act right, always got to talk down on you. They always acting sus. Definitely a op. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't point them out, man. Y'all point them out. They in church.
Oh, Lord.
Your fingers down.
They point to
we live in a God life in here. No, but for real, like, there are people that, like, literally seek to tear you down, and some of them, unfortunately, are disguised as our friend, you know? So I wanted to ask, maybe, CJ, you can be the one that kind of kicks it off, but how do you handle, like, criticism and lack of support when your brand is publicly openly Christian, even on social media?
For me, it comes down to just knowing my calling and what I was put here to do. Knowing what I was put here to do. There's something that I feel, just really just in the last 30 seconds, it's just been burdened on my heart to to mention is just to this room, right? I'm looking at each of your faces. And the reality is the enemy is here to take y'all out. Like, he want to take every single one of y'all out. He wants to kill y'all and the purpose tied to you. So not even just to you, but like the souls that are tied to your calling. If he can take you out, he can take those hundreds of thousands out. So think about how many are tied in this room. And so I just felt led to tell each and every one of you, like, I want to look at your faces. I don't want this just to be a panel that you hear. It's like, oh, cool, they're doing cool stuff. But I want y'all to know, like, the anxiety you feel, the struggle you feel right now, man, I got to have it together, even in middle school and high school. I got to have this figured out. I got to make it so my family's straight. Like, you're good, I promise you. You're straight. Like, every one of us in our journeys of entrepreneurs and different things we're on, we have failed and felt like failures many times. Many times. Currently, last night, right? But I want to, everything you need is in you currently. Every single thing you need is in you. Whatever God wanted you to have, he put it inside of you right now. So that vision that you have, the thing that you have a passion for, right? There's something tied to that. I don't know whether it's art, whether it's just you love taking care of people, your friends, your family. That might be tied to nursing. I don't know what it could be tied to, but I want you to hear me clearly. Like, the criticism that comes from that, you mentioned isolation. Sometimes you feel lonely in these spaces. You can be in a room full of people and feel lonely. Sometimes, like she said, that isolation is him protecting you from things that you don't even know about. Protecting you from people, that relationship that you wanted to work, that guy you liked, that girl you liked, and it didn't work. He was protecting you from something that you had no idea about. No idea. But I really want to make it clear, like, this seems cute, this is cool, but it's not a game. It's not a game. Like, y'all are world changers. Every one of y'all are world changers. So if you can have that freedom to know, you are exactly where you need to be right now. So whatever God's going to work out for you is already in motion. You ain't got to worry about it. He already got it in motion. So I want y'all to have that peace. Like, whatever that anxiety is that you feel right now in the room, like, let it go. Like, he's already got it worked out. So I hope, I know that didn't
answer the question, but I
felt a burden to say that. So if that was for you, just raise your hand. Like, if you receive that, I want that to be for you. Like, you're good. Got it taken
care
of.
That's good. That's real good. Now, when I think about trying to live a God life, the God life, not just out like the one and only God life, I think a lot about the struggle of compromise. And there's a lot of struggle that comes with it. Like, you know, even being a Christian teenager, having a boyfriend, having a girlfriend. Y'all just recently had prom. You know what kind of comes with that. Pressures. You know what I'm saying? Like, should I prove to this person that I care about them, or should I prove to God that I stand for him? It's a lot of compromise that goes on when trying to live the God life. Now, Chris, I want to ask you this question right here. Have you ever felt pressure to compromise your values for the sake of trends or popularity in your field?
Yes. I'm going to say something because I don't know if y'all said it in the bio, but I was a sound engineer before I was actually a filmmaker. So I was on tour with Pierre Bourne. I don't know if anyone knows Pierre Bourne. Anybody? Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here? Okay. Anyways, maybe the first day, and this is after I stopped smoking and stuff, maybe the first day on the tour bus, we had two tour buses. We had an artist tour bus and we had an engineer production tour bus. Oh, and so when we got on the bus, everybody was smoking. They were like, man, you want to smoke? You want to smoke? You want to drink? You want to drink? And I was like, oh, maybe I should. And I was like, nah, I can't do it. And then maybe a couple days go by, and they like, bro, how are you doing this? Like, how are you not smoking? How are you not drinking? Don't miss Jesus. And it was funny, as time went on, they were cracking jokes like, Chris, I think I feel the Holy Spirit. I think I feel the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, I knew it was a seed. So me not compromising was the thing that was convicting them. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's good. With everyone being up here, everyone up here has a gift. Does anyone have a gift or a talent or something that makes you special, whether you sing, you good at math? That's a gift, y'all. Y'all could be doing people's taxes. You know, you got the gift.
Y'all could be doing people's taxes.
You can sing, you can dance. I feel, whether you know it or not, everyone in this room is gifted in some shape, form, or fashion that God wants to use for your purpose that's honestly bigger than you. But one thing that we see in the lives that we live, and honestly all throughout scripture, is God giving us a big gift, but then we feel unsure. We feel unqualified. We see that with Moses. He had a stuttering problem, but yet God used him. For you guys, I want to ask this, and Jazz, I'm going to start with you. What advice do you give to those who feel unqualified, who feel unsure? And they know they got something inside of them, but they don't know if it's the right time. They don't know if they want to do it for God. They just don't feel unsure communicating it, expressing it to the masses. What advice would you give?
That's a loaded question. I think that I would say be okay with pursuing the uncertainty. Because that's the moment kind of space that I'm in. I was talking to Chris the other day, and he was like, I think that you need to create from the space of the pain that you're going through. And then it didn't leave me. It bothered me because it was like there's purpose attached to what you produce, but the only way that you know that you can produce it is by producing it. And so I would just encourage everyone to just be okay with just stepping out and being completely vulnerable. It's very uncomfortable, but if you really, 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 really believe in this man that they say that walked this earth and changed all of our lives for the greater, and for some of us in here who's currently changing our lives because we don't yet know him, but I believe that by the end of this night you will come to know him, there is a peace in the uncertainty, because if you knew every step, you would never step out to take the step of faith. And so I would just charge everyone in here to be okay with pursuing, not having all the answers and not having all the game plan. Like you said, CJ, you have all that you need that's on the inside of you. Just pursue it in uncertainty and trust that God is really God and he was not going to let you fail.
Yes. Can y'all make some noise for our panelists tonight?
Real quick, if you are going to qualify, good. Jump. If you're unqualified, good. Because guess who qualifies you? God.
Come on.
You good to go.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all make some noise for all of our panelists. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all so much for just taking the time to just pour just so much wisdom and knowledge into all of our young people, because they're so successful doing amazing things. And y'all, look, they were once teenagers just like y'all. And look at where they are now, thriving because they still have God on their in their lives. Thank y'all so much for joining us. Thank y'all so much. Y'all make some noise for our panelists one more time.